This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, getting ready to talk to our good friend David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, David. How are we?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm fantastic.
Are you extra fantastic because you just got to see me last night?
Yeah, whatever you want to believe, buddy.
Oh, my God, that's rude.
Yeah, no, we had a good time. We had a good time. We had fun.
Well, I want to walk back for just a minute, and we can share, if anybody missed the happy hour, the conversation we had with DeMarcus Ware. There was a lot of interesting things that came out of that, but probably the number one thing that stood out to me was we were talking about like any particular Cowboys team that didn't make it to the Super Bowl that hurt or felt like that was the year. And he talked about 2007. And among other things, he said, quite frankly, we were arrogant in that season. And I thought that was an astonishing admission from a player of that level.
Is this team arrogant?
I thought you might be asking Kevin. I'm sorry.
I was kind of asking the whole world. But I, you know, I'll expect you to answer.
I did. I mean, it was an awesome conversation that we had with DeMarcus last night. I think the show's up on DallasCowboys.com if you want to go back and listen to it.
Nice.
Yeah, you like that? That's a really good question, and I don't know, maybe it's easy to feel that way because like it makes you feel better about the disappointing record, but yeah, to some degree, there's some part of me that wonders, like, does this Cowboys team, you know in the back of their mind how talented they are, and maybe they lean on it a little bit harder than they should, although, you know, you'd like to think that mindset disappeared the minute they lost to the New York Jets. So you would hope not, but part of me does wonder that is like, you know, is this almost like a, you know, like that's the type of student I was in school, is like I really didn't bust my butt as hard as I should have because I figured I could always fall back and do the bare minimum and get a good grade, and it's easy to kind of get that vibe from these guys sometimes.
Do you ever get that vibe from the head coach? Because I know the head coach answers a lot of things the very same way, and that might just be his nature, but every now and again it feels like some of those answers are like, are you really questioning my football acumen?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think we talked about that on Tuesday, like right after the loss, is yeah, I mean, Jason Garrett, and I think that's all football coaches, you know, can be kind of contentious when you think, you know, that's been his life's work, you know, as a player and then coming up as a coach, and he's been doing this for a long time. And yeah, it's probably pretty aggravating getting questioned all the time by people that never played the game at a high level.
What's the most aggravating question you can recall ever asking him where he was just like, seriously, man?
Oh, geez. I mean, like I said on two, like anytime you ask him a question about like, you know, what were you thinking there? What was the thought process there? It's very common to get back, you know, an answer along the lines of like, well, you know, we were trying to get the first down. And it's like, you know, it's like almost condescending, like, well, yeah, I mean, I know what the goal was. I was hoping for a little more nuance than that, but that's, you know, Jason Garrett's so even-keeled, it's hard to really, you know, get him to be overly combative. So, I don't know. I don't think we've ever really, really butted heads, but he'll let you know very slyly that he thinks your question is stupid. There's no doubt about that.
Last night, I know y'all were kind of talking about, I think DeMarcus Ware pointed out, playing to the level of your opponents.
Yes.
Is something that you can't do. And the level of this opponent with Driscoll, and then what? The running game is very different. You know, are they looking at it saying, oh man, this is going to be a breeze with these running backs, this quarterback, or are they concerned about this team at all?
That's the funny thing is, I've said this a million times over the course of the years that I've covered the Cowboys, is like, well, say what you will about Jason Garrett on Sunday, you know, he approaches each game the same way, he gets his team ready to play, they play hard regardless, and, you know, nine games into this season, I don't think that's really true this year. Clearly, I mean, this team's one of their biggest problems has been the first quarter. You know, it's such a cliche, but it's painfully obvious that they start slow. It takes them a quarter to a quarter and a half to really kick it into gear. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they are outscoring their opponents every quarter but the first. And in a lot of
negative 19 in the first quarter, and it's like plus 89.
I was gonna say they're kicking butt drastically in the other three and just can't get out of their way in the first quarter. And you know, obviously, you know, they lost to the Jets. It took them a half to get going against the Dolphins. So I don't think you can really say that this year that, you know, the approach is the same and yada yada yada. I mean, I know that I don't think they're slacking off and not taking the Lions seriously, especially coming off of a loss that drops them to 5-4. But for whatever reason, it doesn't always translate right away on game day. And I mean, the one time they have started fast was against Philadelphia, and that was a 27-point beatdown of really the only competent team that they have a win against. So I don't know what they have to do to fix it, but it's clearly something that needs to be a point of emphasis.
How would you suppose, because the Cowboys and most NFL teams have been through this drill many a time, how does a team prepare when you're like pretty sure that Jeff Driskel is going to be the quarterback, but there's just like that tiny part that maybe it ends up being Stafford? Like, how do you prepare accordingly?
Yeah, actually, Garrett talked about that at his press conference just now. I think the word he used was nimble. You know, you have to be able to kind of adjust on the fly. Fortunately for the Cowboys, they've got a decent amount of experience against Matt Stafford. They just played the Lions last year. They played him in 2016. They obviously played him in the playoffs. That was a little while ago, but that was still Matt Stafford. So I think they've got a pretty complete scouting report on who he is and what he can do. You know, the dude's got broken bones in his back, so I would assume they're doing most of their work on Jeff Driskel, but if Stafford's able to play, obviously he's much more talented and it's a harder guy to defend, but I don't think they would be surprised by anything he brings to the table just because they've seen it so much.
How do they cover Golladay? What's the plan against him? And I guess with Amendola too.
I was thinking this morning, man, this is not Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard's style. They don't do this. I don't expect them to do this. But this would be a week where I would probably try to shadow that guy. Byron Jones, he's so much longer and bigger and more athletic than most of these Cowboys corners. Kenny Golladay is a real deal, you know, 6'3", 6'4", type of receiver. He's a big-bodied guy. He's got great hands. He attacks the football with the way he catches. If there was ever a week where I would want a cornerback to shadow him, I think it would be this week. And I know Marvin Jones is good too, you know, so they're gonna find favorable looks no matter what. But Cheeto gives up quite a few inches to Golladay, and on top of that, he's had some tough luck this year. And then you look at Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis, they're even smaller. And that definitely worries me. So again, I don't expect to see it. But me being, you know, the amateur that I am with no professional experience, I would try to get Byron Jones on Golladay as much as possible.
Would you also go ahead and just keep Jordan Lewis on the bench? Because that seems to be something that they like to do in an inordinate amount.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer. I do. I don't have his snap count in front of me, but I know it should be higher. He just makes plays. He's got ball skills. He's got a nose for it. Again, especially in this matchup, though, you know, I know there were people calling for him to replace Cheeto on the outside. I don't know if I like that idea against these receivers. This is a big, not just talented, but big duo. I mean, you're talking, Jordan Lewis is, you know, maybe 5'11", maybe. So you're talking about a guy giving up 3 to 5 inches on these receivers. I'm not sure I think that's a great idea. But there's no doubt that they should be able to find a larger role for him at this point based on what he's done.
He's got long arms though, right?
He does. I mean, that's why he got drafted in the first place. The Cowboys love his arm length, but clearly not enough to find more snaps for him.
Yeah, that's so weird. We love the arm length, just don't want you out on the field that much. Xavier Suofilo, how much of a drop off, or I don't know, what's going on with that? And are we missing that much from Connor Williams?
I think people people are probably harsher on Connor Williams than is fair, but at the same time, I don't think this is a huge drop-off. Xavier stepped in for Connor when he got hurt last year and was great. I believe they went 7-1 in the time that Xavier was starting at guard, and the game they lost was the Colts game. They got shut out. Xavier actually left that game with an eye injury pretty early on. So, you know, I'm not suggesting that they were winning all those games just because Xavier Suofilo was in the lineup, but clearly things didn't drop off drastically when he was in there because they were able to win games. I think, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's actually a higher draft pick in his draft class than Connor Williams. I think he was the 33rd or 34th overall pick back when he came out of school. Powerful guy, veteran guy. So he might give you more in the strength department. I don't expect there to be much of a drop off at all.
Do you have any feelings towards more Blake Jarwin, less Jason Witten?
You know, I'm wrong all the time.
Okay,
but this
sure.
No, but I will take a chance to pat myself on the back because it just, you know, from the minute Jason Witten came out of retirement, this is probably what you expected, and that, you know, he hasn't been bad. He certainly hasn't been bad, but at 37 years old, coming off a year in retirement, he's also not a dynamic playmaker who you would think of as a true mismatch. At the same time, you know, you're not going to take him off the field, at least not drastically. You know, like, you can reduce his snap count and find ways to get Jarwin involved, but Jason Witten's going to be a big part of this offense. He just is. And so that was something that I thought about the minute he announced that he was coming out of retirement, is I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a stopgap year for your tight end position because there aren't going to be enough snaps to get all your young guys the reps they need. You're probably not going to draft a tight end highly at that, you know, and just have him sit on the bench because there's no snaps for him. So this is a stopgap situation where it is what it is. And we'll see, you know, I don't know how much longer Jason Witten's going to play, but your tight end position is kind of hanging in limbo while he's here. And it's not so bad that it's a detriment to your team. I think you can still win games with him, but it's not as dynamic as you would probably prefer for it to be. Having said that, hopefully they can continue to find ways to get Jarwin involved because his snap count has gone up in recent weeks, and hopefully it kind of keeps trending in that direction.
Talk with David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. One of the things that we went over on Happy Hour last night is, I understand anytime the Cowboys lose, it can be doom and gloom, but you absolutely still contain a certain level of optimism based on the talent and whatever else that this Cowboys team could still go out there and make some noise this season, yes?
Yeah, I mean, and I know nobody wants to hear this based on the way they lost that game and the way they've lost basically all of their games. Like, they have not looked like an impressive team to this point in the season. But if I'm, like, trying to sell a Cowboys fan on why they should feel optimistic, it's that the talent is definitely there, and it has shown, you know, it's shown itself in fits and starts all season long. And as gross as you might feel about the team right now, they're 5-4, they're on top of the division. And there are so many examples of good teams putting it together in the second half of the year. Like, this isn't college football where you need to be great from start to finish. This is pro football where you need to hang around the conversation until it's crunch time. And, you know, you can hit your stride at the right time and win the Super Bowl with a 9-7 record. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
That's what I just heard.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I am saying it's kind of silly to try to flush this season as a lost cause before Thanksgiving. They're still in the conversation, and there's every reason to believe that they can kind of hit that stride because they did it last year. I don't think that's what people want to hear right now, but if I was a Cowboys fan looking for optimism, that's where I would go.
You just heard the prediction here on the KNC
Masterpiece. Yeah, thanks, guys.
David Hellman says Cowboys will win the Super Bowl with a 9-7 record. Woo! In the regular season. That means they also have to go undefeated in the playoffs, Kevin. I don't know if you
that
know
does
that, or not.
That does check out.
I didn't say any of that.
Hellman, we got to move on from the 817. Hellman is growing on me. KNC brings out the best in everyone. And you know what? Now that he's starting to grow on you, we will point out that he is a Mariners fan. And,
oh my God!
Go M's, baby.
Are you disappointed that your Mariners have not cheated more like the Astros have?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, like I'm cheat to win. I mean, if we get the banner, I don't care. Put an asterisk on it. I don't care. Cheat to win. Yeah, I think I saw that they're trying to trade Mitch Haniger. I feel like the Mariners are like trying to do the Browns.
All right, this sounds like a podcast, Hellman. This doesn't sound like an on-air worthy product.
Whatever.
Right now.
The Mariners are bad, and they'll probably stay bad for a long time. It's
well,
fine.
We'll see about that. Just remember, LSU never beat Alabama until you hopped on with us and see how quickly things change.
Wow, that's a great point. So I need to keep doing this for the next 6 weeks at least.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, guys.
I think that's the way to do it. All right, later, man.
Bye, David.
David Hellman, you can find all his stuff, including our happy hour yesterday with DeMarcus Ware on DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Why would somebody do this to Joe Montana? Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Kevin, the finalists for the Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award have been announced. Each NFL team nominates one of its players for the award, which
Wayne
recognizes
Rooney.
Players, no, not Wayne Rooney, players around the league who exemplify outstanding sportsmanship on the field. Do you know who the Cowboys nominated?
Jason Witten.
Byron Jones.
Boring!
The Cleveland Browns got Chubb, and then the Houston Texans went with Deshaun Watson.
So they loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So there you go, man. Let's
Very
go around
exciting.
The entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
And first, we have to do away with the grossest story of the day. Alex Guerrero, who is a fraud and flim-flam man, says that Tom Brady now believes he can play until he's 46 or 47. Vomit. Let's go to another quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. Where is he going to end up? There are reports that Jay-Z helped set up this workout and part of his social initiatives with the NFL. But where do you think Colin Kaepernick might end up? The betting odds are already out.
Well, there are a couple of teams that are very interested, and they wanted to bring him in, or they wanted to see him, but they wanted to see him for next year.
Right.
And so that's kind of one of the reasons the league was like, you know what, this is a great time to, instead of doing a combine, we're just going to do a Colin Bine. Is that a Colin Kaepernick?
No, don't say
combine?
what you just said.
So they're going to have one thing for him to go out there and get his opportunity. I think who are our quarterbackless teams right now? Not Detroit. Would Miami be interested?
I don't think so, because I would assume they would want an ultra-young quarterback.
Okay.
The Bears?
The Bears are 8th on the list.
Jacksonville,
not on the list. The same theory with Jacksonville. Look, like Colin Kaepernick's not going to come in and help you win straight away. He hasn't played in 3 years. So, like, it's not young teams that I would think would want him. Although...
The Bills.
The Bills are 4th on the list. The Ravens, interestingly enough, are 3rd. The Steelers are 2nd.
That makes sense because he would be a similar style quarterback. Like, nothing like Lamar. But you don't want to have a guy on your team that's not like your starter, right? Because then you have to change systems.
God, finding somebody just like Lamar Jackson.
Do you think if Cooper Rush had to play, he's not Dak. They have to change the system, so...
The number one team, a team that is absolutely terrible. They've
Packers.
Given up. No, the Packers are pretty good. The Cincinnati Bengals, they are the leader to pick up Colin Kaepernick. The Cowboys are right in the middle, tied with the Patriots as the most likely to pick up Colin Kaepernick.
What about Denver? Did you say the Broncos?
Denver is not in the top 15.
Wow. They have terrible quarterbacks, too.
That's true. I think a lot of people think they're going to try to make a move for Cam Newton.
Oh, okay. Well, and John Elway's trying to do the old Pat Riley move, where he's like, you know what? There's no good quarterback, so I'm going to step back in and play for this team.
God, I hope that happens. Seeing him get destroyed for all his terrible personnel moves feels like sports justice in action, if I've ever seen it. Now, we told you that the Broncos might make a run at Cam Newton. Reportedly, Cam Newton has said he would be open to be traded to the Bears if they were interested. He said he's fine, or the reports are, he said he's fine with getting traded. And I think the Bears could be a logical destination for him, though I think the Broncos work too.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to be okay with it, right? Because you see this quarter, why am I going to get in the way of this quarterback being good? Kyle Allen's doing very well. The team's doing well. I might get an opportunity to get a change of scenery and, you know, win over a new fan base. I think it's smart to be okay with it.
Let's talk about Gardner Minshew. Nick Foles said something really condescending. Quote, I'm proud of Gardner for everything he's done. Now, I instantly thought of what you do when you tell people that you're proud of them, and you're usually like, I think you suck. So he said that. Then Gardner Minshew came out and said, I think I proved I can be a guy in this league for a long, long time. So if you think it's over and Nick Foles is the starter and Gardner is going to be happy just being the backup, think again.
Okay. Man, that's very interesting with the money that was spent there. Does that mean he's going to request a trade then?
I kind of do think that.
Wow.
And I think some teams might want to make that move.
Who? I guess there are a lot of teams.
Reboot a lot of the same teams we were just talking about,
yeah,
I would guess.
Wow, man. It's interesting that he got the opportunity, and that might be a situation where that's the reverse Dak. That's the reverse thing. The guy played well, and you're like, all right. And then it's going to be a completely different change because they were going to go back to this guy. That's weird, man.
I mean, if they pick up a valuable asset out of it, they could still roll with Foles. They might think, yeah, this whole thing wasn't too bad to begin with. The Houston Texans were the team to pick up Vernon Hargraves off of waivers. We talked about this. He was the number 11 pick just 3 years ago. Got benched for loafing. Said, I'll have a conversation with my coach. And then he was instantaneously released, which leads you to believe that conversation didn't go super well. Well, the Texans have decided to pick him up. Here is somebody who I just don't understand how they could ever get another shot in the NFL. Robert Kimdichie, we told you how he was released again. He was with the Dolphins for like 2 seconds, played 18 snaps. Keep in mind, this is a team that picked up Taco, and they're like, we can use you. So he's worse than Taco. He got released, and now he's been suspended 2 more games. He has been suspended, had injury problems, and just general suckitude problems. And why he would get another shot in the league, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's because that's the way this league is. It's very weird about who it gives more chances to, especially the ability to play.
Were you a first-round pick?
Here you go. Yeah, these opportunities are going to go to guys that, you know, proved at one point in their youth that they could play. And he's probably going to get another opportunity, man, even though he gets suspended all the time.
Let's talk about Bob Stoops and the Dallas Renegades, since a couple of people suggested on the fan text that perhaps the Dallas Renegades pick up Colin Kaepernick. We're holding out for Andrew Luck.
We got Landry Jones.
Okay.
Why would you want him over Landry Jones?
I mean, I don't know if Landry Jones will be held in favor if your head coach leaves. Because remember, before the season's even started, we heard rumors that Bob Stoops would be leaving to go to Florida State. Well, that didn't happen. So Bob Stoops said, I'm prepared to shut down any speculation about me leaving by saying, quote, well, you never know what the Lord is going to bring you. So basically he's saying, if you're in the college football business, give me a shout,
no,
Notre Dame.
No, he's not.
That is exactly what he's saying.
I think he's being honest. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, always keep your options open, but...
Okay, do you want more? Quote,
yeah.
You don't know what you're going to be doing. What you'll be doing next year or the year after. You don't know what you're going to be doing. Only the good Lord knows for sure. We'll see where things end up for me.
Hey, you know what, though? That's the same thing that Landry Jones said. Remember when we
that
asked him
true.
About
that?
That
is true. We asked if he go to the
NFL. Hey, what do you do if the NFL calls? And it's like, you know, he said, listen, as this is the job we're doing, and it's exciting to be part of the XFL. But if something was to come up, you'd have to weigh your options. And the opportunity to play in the NFL, it's different, man. The money that exists in the NFL is very different right now.
For sure. Let's go to the San Francisco 49ers. Left tackle Joe Staley will be out a, quote, couple of weeks after a finger surgery. He missed 6 games because of a broken fibula. Roll back. Now, dislocated his finger, needed surgery. He's going to be out a couple of weeks. But that is not the number one 49ers story I want you to know about. Somebody ripped the face mask off of the Joe Montana statue at Levi Stadium. Couple things. First of all, how dare you? Second of all, should we weaponize this human who can just rip pieces off of statues? Because that sounds like a super strong individual.
Hold on. They just tore it off? Oh, yep. My gosh. They had to have used, I'm looking at this right now. They had to have used some sort of saw.
But what if they
did? Or
didn't
some
tore
sort
it?
Of, some,
what if they
some clamps or something. That is ridiculous. It looks like they caught the guy. Yeah, I think they got the guy.
Which is ironic, given that the part of the statue that was ripped apart was from the catch. So you probably should have known how it was going to go down. Do you think a disgruntled Cowboys fan, perhaps even Danny White, will be implicated in this?
No, it's his name's Jorge Alberto Lopez.
Sounds and he's like a fake
that's
Danny
Spanish
White
for
name.
Danny White.
Yeah, that sounds right to
it's
me.
Not Spanish for Danny White. It's,
you don't know that.
Yeah, I do.
Danny
actually.
Blanco.
I'm going to check out Google Translate.
For the NFL, you get 15 yards. He's been arrested. So you get arrested for that?
Yeah,
for
it's vandalism? A felony.
Yeah, it's felony
it.
Vandalism. Wow.
Saddest part about that is if he gets convicted, he can never vote again.
Statue doesn't really look like Joe Montana.
Voting's a beating.
How many? Okay, hold on. We'll get back to that later, Shippy. How many statues do you think when you see them, you're like, that's about right? I feel like very rarely. And you're like, I mean, I guess.
I don't know. The busts are always kind of unique for the Hall of Fame and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite bust?
I guess Madden, because he's the one that believes that that they all talk to each other, that the busts are talking.
I might have gone with Christina Hendricks.
From the the captain of the Santa Clara police said it was an intentional act on his part to grab the face mask and pull on it until it broke.
Penalty.
Okay, what a stupid statement, first of all. Oh, you don't say. The guy who ripped part of the statue off did it on purpose. You can't just fall into a statue and break it.
Maybe he was doing some pull-ups.
I mean, that is also reckless. But did you further hear the guy said that he ripped it off with his bare hands?
Wow.
Wow.
That's a strong human right there.
Yeah.
Guys, let's talk about, well, maybe he ends up in the NFL. It is increasingly likely, per a report, that the new labor agreement might be here sooner rather than later. And that current labor agreement would include a 17-game schedule. Guys, are you prepared? It's getting closer and closer to becoming a reality. The 17-game NFL schedule. What do we think?
I think that I want to do it. I mean,
I do.
Give me more football. I never have problems with getting more football. I'm perfectly okay with that. I don't know how the players are going to benefit from it, though. I'm trying to figure out what they're going to get from it. Because do you think that there's any way that the NFL is going to be like, hey, let's pay them more too. Let's pay them the extra game.
I think that they'll get a portion of the money. And we talked about this before, is how much money you could be making per team every single game. We talked about if you added 2 games, every single team stood to make an additional $30 million. Per season. All right, so you cut that in half. Every single team is in line to make an additional, let's just say, $15 million. Well, if you're splitting the revenue essentially 50-50, maybe you can get an extra $7.5 million, or hell, an even, let's just say, even another $5 million extra dollars. to the players for one extra game distributed, I think that might be worth it.
There you go. All right. Then let's do it. Let's do it right now. And let's go ahead and add an extra round to the playoffs, too. I love playoff football. I want to add an extra round to it.
Well, then you add even more money. I just added the one regular season game and the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even add that extra playoff game. Now we're talking about even more money. By the way, tonight, Thursday night football, it's going to be a garbage game. So you should definitely listen to Zach and Eric. It's going to be Pittsburgh against Cleveland. However, one good note for the Pittsburgh Steelers is James Conner is set to be back in action this week. And this is a Pittsburgh team that they've been rolling. They've won four straight. And I want to repeat this because I think everyone in the world needs to know this. Here are their next three games. They play Cleveland, Cincinnati, and then Cleveland again. In the span of three games.
You seem to think that's favorable to them.
Yes, I do. This is a team that's going to be 8-4 going into that Cardinals game.
They're just
going
to hang out in Ohio for that whole time?
Yes. Well, one of those, actually, they could because their game is at Cleveland. Their next game is at Cincinnati. And then they go back home. So they could just hang out in Ohio. What could you do there for a week?
You'd be distraction-free for your players.
That's true. Did you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Yep. Then there's nothing else to do.
Now, there's other stuff, dude. You can go to the hospital and you know, give back.
Oh, yeah.
At Cleveland Clinic.
That's what... that'd be great. But I don't know if NFL players are like, you know what we need to do with our free time while we're on the road?
More charity work, dude.
I support that. I just don't know if they will. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk some about cheating in baseball. Is it really that bad if you get a World Series out of it? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Saw the report that the Rangers are aggressively pursuing Josh Donaldson. We'll take that with a grain of salt for right now. But also, you know, the idea that they might get Zach Wheeler. I'm in on that, Kevin. That's potential for the Rangers to add a quality pitcher. Will Mike Minor be on your opening day roster? That's a big question there, too. But is it going to matter if everybody's cheating in baseball? If everybody's cheating, Kevin... Will we have the better cheaters?
If everybody's cheating, does that mean nobody is cheating?
AJ Hinch has been attributed with devising the elaborate scheme along with Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora. And they played a key role in devising this sign-stealing system.
So we know the Mets are going to be cheating.
In 2017, Beltran had ended his playing career in 17 with the Astros. Cora was Hinch's bench coach that year before he was hired. By the Red Sox in 18. And they said that there was a camera that's connected out in the outfield that was wired to a TV and that was steps away from the dugout. And if they figured out what was going on with fastball, curveball, if they saw fastball, they would hit a trash can. And it sounded a little like this. This is the John Boy audio?
Yeah, this is John Boy on Twitter. And it kind of explains, you know, If he was throwing a fastball, there would be no sound, and then if it was a changeup, they would hit something with like a bat.
Fastball, no bang at all. Takes it. Next pitch, there's the changeup. Bang, bang, takes it. It's like, wait, what? What's going on here? Fastball outside. So quick, two signs. Geared up for the fastball, fouls it off. Next pitch, changeup. Bang, bang. That sequence is so upsetting. There's no way that is done without technology.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's that shot of Springer hitting a bomb, and he looked like you could tell he looked like he knew what was coming on that. So that you have an idea of what's coming on each pitch, you're going to be better. You're going to be strong. Are you okay with guys cheating? All right, so you're like totally against trying to get an edge in this situation.
Well, and I think, but that's the thing. I think an edge is different than flat out cheating. There are some things that Belichick obviously jumps right to mind. Is somebody who takes advantage of the rule book.
And loopholes.
Then there are other times where he flat out does cheat. I don't approve of cheating, but finding a way to take advantage of the rule book if things aren't prohibited, I think that's okay.
Here's some suggestions from the 469. Just give them headsets and ditch the antiquated hand signals. It's 2019. From the 817, I can certify that Rougned Odor would be the league MVP if he knew which pitch was coming. Yeah. Oh, they're throwing fastball? I'm not going to miss on this curveball inside? All right, everything's going to be fine. Well, you know who Russo is, right? From he was Mad Dog.
Mad Dog.
All right, he went on a bit of a rant. But
is he the one who yelled about it's not Forrest Gregg?
Yes, he was the one that said it's not Forrest Gregg, which I think it was Forrest Gregg, actually. But he went on a little
it's
bit of a
Jerry
rant.
It's not Jerry Kramer, that's right.
No, it's not Jerry Kramer, and he said that the players should be ashamed. No, not Jerry Seinfeld either.
Oh.
He said the players should be ashamed.
And I'll tell you something, if you're a player, you know, you should be disgraced yourself if you need to know what pitch is coming to be successful in the big leagues. That's another aspect of this which is disturbing. I wouldn't want to win that way if I was a... I didn't want to win that way. Let me beat you straight up. I get the sign from the guy who got the double. He's on second base. That's one thing. I got to rely on some $22,000 a year guy in the outfield looking at some asinine center field camera and some weird contraption and some weird messaging so I can find out if it's a curveball or a fastball. Really? I should quit if I'm not bad, if I need that. Find something else with my life. My God. Down in the Astros. I'm down in all these teams that do this garbage. Ruining the sport. And it's about time, baseball. This has been going on for a long time, and baseball's done nothing. Let me get this straight. Rosenthal found out from fires, and MLB did not? That's a joke. That's a joke. Get going, Rob, now.
So he's talking to Rob Manfred.
He's got a reputation of being a hothead.
But why?
What?
Why? Why do they have to leave? Because they're still going to make $100 million? Like, think about it. Mark McGwire. He is a cheater. Rafael Palmeiro, he's a cheater. Barry Bonds, Ryan Braun.
Ty Cobb.
Well, not Ty
Cobb. That's a joke!
Roger Clemens. They're all cheaters, and what happened? They made millions and millions of dollars, and they got to stay in baseball. Like, I understand what he's saying. Me, personally, I wouldn't want to roll like that. But what is the repercussion of that? Oh, no, they didn't make the Hall of Fame yet. But they made tens and tens and hundreds of millions of dollars along the way. Why? Because they cheated. So, I mean, the Houston Astros, they absolutely 100% cheated. What's going to happen? Nothing. They won the World Series. Oh, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to take away their entirety of their 2020 draft, and let's say you take away all their 2020 draft and fine them $20 million. Worth it. If I was the Rangers, I would do that in a heartbeat. If it meant, and I guarantee you all of the Astros fans are, not all of them, most of them are fine with it. Hey, my team cheated and they're eventually going to be punished, but that's not going to change your memories of the 2017 season and how magical it was, I'm sure, for them to win the World Series. That's the issue I have with that. There's not really any tough punishment for this. If you really want a punishment, okay, all of Major League Baseball, that you cheated the game. Guess what, Astros? You're shut down in 2020. There's a punishment. There will be no Astros season in 2020. We will go ahead and pay the players their contract, or the Astros will pay them all of that money. Think about that. The Astros are prevented from holding a season, making any money, but they still have to make all of, they have to pay all that money, and those players will be allowed to be dispersed to another team for a year. How that happens, I'm not entirely sure, because I just came up with this idea. That's a punishment. You shut that franchise down for a year. That'll make an impact. But what's really going to happen? Oh, no, they're going to interview all these people, and they're going to be like, you shouldn't have done that. We're going to fine you, and it's going to be a ridiculous fine that means nothing versus winning the World Series. And what's that going to do? Nothing.
Baseball has a history of cheating.
Yes.
It does. And you say steroids, 8 men out.
Sure.
Pete Rose.
Sure.
And that wasn't even cheating the game,
yeah,
he claims.
Pete Rose says he bet on his own team. How is this not worse than that? The 1919 Black Sox. Some of those people still aren't in the Hall of Fame when they should have because of something that happened 90 years ago that people dispute for the record. A lot of people dispute whether or not Shoeless Joe Jackson actually had anything to do with that. But guess what? Banned. So the Astros, nobody disputes this happened. And what's going to happen? We're going to fine you $20 million. Who cares?
Yeah.
I would care.
And that's the thing is, like, these guys are trying to find an advantage. They found a system they thought worked. And then somebody told about it. Justin Verlander, somebody tweeted or texted this in, 877-881-1053, the Autoflex Leasing fan text. They said that Justin Verlander was the one complaining about all the juiced balls. You remember they were talking about the baseballs are different. There's a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, us pitchers are suffering because of it. And we're not going to get as much money as we deserve whenever free agency comes around because these guys are hitting home runs all the time.
Which is really fascinating coming from Justin Verlander, somebody whose rumors have been swirling around him for several years since he magically got better as he got older.
I question, though, if it's that the ball was different, Kevin, or if more teams were doing this around the league.
Could be.
Because there are more home runs hit this year than there have ever been, and it was a vast difference. You go look at the splits for like Correa and Altuve. Go look at their road home splits. It was ridiculous. On the road, they were awful. And at home, they were fantastic. Now, obviously, they have a different field and everything, but they were really good hitters at home. And that's just, it's a massive difference. And it's, but you know what? I don't care. The game itself took a dip. I mean, it really has taken a dip because there are a lot of teams that weren't trying to compete out there. This is a team that was trying to compete. They were trying to win. I like it. At least you're not. There were 10 teams this year that lost like 100 games. It was ridiculous. Let me find the number on this real quick.
I go back to thoughts about like the Stars.
10 lost 90, 5 lost 100.
Jeez.
Baseball was not competitive this year. The result was a 1.6% decline in attendance for the entire league. That's not good.
You go back to the 99 Stars, people will say, well, Brett Hull's foot was in the crease. That goal shouldn't have counted. Cool story. Does that take away from my enjoyment of them winning the Stanley Cup? Not for one second. In 1994, the San Francisco 49ers obviously should have got flagged for pass interference against Michael Irvin.
Oh, yeah, I should have asked him about that yesterday.
But it wasn't called. Did that change their enjoyment of the Super Bowl? Probably not. I would much prefer that my team wins it straight away. But to Russo's point about you should quit the league, why? There are no repercussions of any actual magnitude against these players. You'll get slapped on the wrist and you'll be shamed. But even with Bonds and Clemens, they have inched closer to making it to the Hall of Fame. And a lot of people think they'll eventually make the Hall of Fame anyway. So what is going to be the repercussions for them? They made all the money. Barry Bonds is the home run king, I guess.
He is.
And they'll eventually probably make the Hall of Fame.
He needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
So what was the repercussions for them? Nothing. So for people who are like, well, you shouldn't cheat because cheating is wrong. I agree. But for the people who are like, you should get out of the game if you have to cheat. Well, why? Because there are no negative outcomes for a lot of these players. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with the man who wrote the book Gridiron Genius. It is Michael Lombardi. He will be live next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.